issue that's been on my mind the last couple of months, and that is about the way we interact with a chole. And the reason why it's been on my mind is because I went to visit a chole, and this chole told me that although they were at the very end of life and they were terminally ill, they said that they're running the marathon, and in January they're going to be fine, and there's going to be a miracle. And to be mechazik the chole, I said, if you run the marathon in January in Florida, I will come and run with you. So I was clearly only trying to be mechazik the chole, but then I started kicking myself. What if it actually happens? I can't even walk a marathon, letting alone run a marathon. What am I going to do when it happens? It was really on my mind the last couple of months. Unfortunately, it happens to be that the shaila ended because the levaya for this chole was yesterday. So I don't have to be concerned about that part, but the sugya made me wonder. And last night when I came home from the levaya, I started to work on this issue. So the Gemara says in Maseches Shabbos, our general attitude toward nedarim, when we make promises, is one that we have to be very careful about. So the Gemara says in Maseches Shabbos, Tani Rav Nasan Omer, Ba'avon nedarim, when a person is careless, when a person is just casual about making nedarim, making promises. You know, it always bugs me when people talk very freely and say, I promise this, I swear that. So the Gemara says, Ba'avon nedarim, if someone is indifferent, if someone is careless about the way they throw around nedarim, Mesa ishto shaladim. It says that a person's family members can lose their lives as a result. Rabbi Yomer, and Rabbi adds over there, Ba'avon nedarim, banim mesim kishem kitanim. Rabbi adds, not only can one's wife lose her life as a result of not being careful with nedarim, but Rabbi says that young children can also lose their lives as a result of an inappropriate use of a neder or a shvua, when a person is not careful with the way they use their mouth and what they promise and what they swear and whether or not they come through with it. So this is a very extreme kind of punishment, the Gemara says. The Gemara Maseches Gittin also gives us a very wild story about a woman who made a promise. She didn't even realize what she was promising. In the end, it says that she suffered terribly as a result of what she did. So this is the reason why, based on all of this, the consequences, the Gemara says in Maseches Nedarim, that la'olam al tehei ragil b'nedarim. Because we have such extreme and severe consequences of somebody who doesn't follow through with a neder, of someone who violates their neder, therefore the Gemara says, la'olam al tehei ragil b'nedarim. Don't play around with this area of life. Don't make nedarim, don't make promises, don't assure people of things. V'yamar Shmuel, and the Gemara says, kala noder afal pisha makaimo. If a person makes a neder, even if in the end you follow through with your neder and you do what you're supposed to, nikra rasha, the Gemara says, still the wrong thing. So don't say, I'll make a neder to do this and I know I'm going to do it anyway, so what's the problem? The Gemara says, still not a good idea. Don't get involved in nedarim. It's something that one has to be so, so careful about, how they use their mouth and what they assure others that they are going to do. And in fact, the Yerushalmi writes in nedarim that somebody who makes a neder and doesn't follow through at the time that they said they were going to do so, the Yerushalmi says that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, opens up your pinkas. He opens up your book and he looks through and he wants to understand what else have you been doing throughout your life. And he starts to focus in on things that perhaps we would do better off if the Ribbono Shel Olam was not so focused in on. So this is something one has to be very careful. The Gemara then introduces a concept called Nidrei Ones, which means every so often you have a person who's put in a situation where you have no choice but to make a promise. And you're forced into doing something that perhaps you don't want to do. So the Gemara talks about Nodrin laharagin v'lacharamin v'lamochsin shehen shal beis hamelech. So the Gemara talks about if somebody comes and perhaps they're going to take your life away, if somebody's going to kill you and they say, I want you to promise this and that, otherwise I'm going to take your life. So the Gemara talks about even making a neder which might not be truthful, might not be honest. And the Gemara says there are some circumstances where maybe a person can do that. They have one thing in mind even though they're saying something else. So the Gemara discusses different variations of Nidrei Ones. Now, one interesting nether onus that the Gemara does not discuss is the case that I mentioned. When I go to visit a chole, and I feel compelled to make a nether, now I personally never promise anything. So I never promised this person either way. I just said, if you run the marathon, I'll run it with you. So it wasn't a shvua, it wasn't a nether, but it was something that I told the person with confidence. So that's something the Gemara does not discuss at all, but it's something that is a very interesting question. So Rav Sternbuch writes in his Tshuvas V'Hanhagos, a very fascinating issue that he discusses. He says, Rofez manenu nechleku, there's a discussion amongst the doctors of our generation, im lahaster mechole asartanas machalasim. When we find out that somebody has cancer, should we be honest with them and tell them this is what they have, tell them the prognosis, or is it better to try to evade the question and not really give them all the details of what exactly is going to happen, how long they're going to live, how much deterioration is going to take place? And he says, vanino chachti be'atzmi liros. I saw with my experience in life, I saw with my own eyes, demisha no de lachola shu sova mi machalas ha sartan, when a patient unfortunately finds out exactly what it is that they have wrong with them and what the prognosis is, he says, "May az vahala hura matzavu." He says, "I have seen throughout my experience that very often they deteriorate because the mental trying to take in the mental understanding of what that means that they're so sick and exactly what the prognosis is sometimes can throw a patient off and make them deteriorate much quicker." And he says, "Therefore, I feel that it's not the right thing. It's not the right thing to tell the chola exactly when they're, you know, how long they have to live and to give them all the details of the issue." However, he says, "And we tamza ani mitzadet," he said, "therefore, I think, in my opinion, that it's mutter lerofe lihishava she'en lo machala mima'eres." He says, "In my opinion, I think, let's say you have a patient who knows that people are not being honest with them, and he calls in the doctor and says, tell me the honest truth. Promise me. What do I have? What do I not have? How long am I going to live?" So a doctor can never know with certainty exactly how long they're going to live. But very often doctors like to be arrogant and tell people, oh, you know, you have 4 weeks left and a month left and this week and get ready. And they give all kinds of numbers. So if a patient calls in a doctor and says, I'd like you to promise me exactly what's going on, Rav Sternbach writes, in his opinion, he thinks it's an issue of pikuach nefesh. And the doctor is allowed to lie and make a promise that is not honest at all and say, I promise you, you're not going to die from this. Nothing's going to happen. Hopefully, we'll be able to cure you. Even though the doctor knows with certainty that there's no way that they can do that. And even though, writes Rav Sternbach, that you're violating Losis Hashem Hashem Elokecha Lashav, you're making a Shvua Shav. This is one of the Aseres Hadibras, one of the most important Isurim of the Torah yet. Rav Sternbach writes, in his opinion, this is a case which is called a nether onus. This is a case where we assume that a doctor is allowed to say something that is not truthful because we believe that it's for the betterment of the patient. It's perhaps an issue of pikuach nefesh, and it's something that a person has a right to lie about, even if it means violating many isurim and many mitzvahs in the Torah of kechala yotzimi pivyasa, that a person has to be careful about the way they use their mouth. So the great Ritva, the Ritva was one of the Gedolei HaRishonim in the 1300s, he was one of the preeminent students of the Rashba and the Ra'a. So the Ritva talks about a fascinating story that happened in his day, and that is that there was unfortunately a young man who was very sick, and he was recently married. He just had a couple of 2-3 young children, and him and his wife were so in love with each other, and they were so closely connected and bonded with one another, and the Ritva writes the story that the husband wanted to proved to himself how much his wife loved him, and he said he made her take a shvua b'tkiyas kaf, he made her take a shvua that she's never going to get remarried to anyone else. And that's going to show how much they love each other. So the woman wanted to show her affection and her love back to her husband, and she said, of course, I swear I will never get remarried, doesn't matter if you're here, if you're not here, I'm never going to get remarried because we're going to love each other for all eternity. And the Ritva said they were faced with the question. A year went by and 2 years went by, and Nebuch, this young girl, had promised her husband that she's not going to get remarried, and she swore to him that she was going to follow through with that promise. And now it turns out that she's having a very difficult time supporting herself, and she has a very difficult time living alone, and she's a young woman, and she has a whole life ahead of her. How can she not go and get remarried? So the Ritva writes a very fascinating issue, not only about the case, but he throws in a interesting perspective, and he says, "Od nirali b'inyan zeh, tam gadol hatira afilu lechatchila." He says, "I have a reason why I think it should be mutter for her to break that promise and to go and get remarried. Kilefi hanira," he says, "this is a consideration, and here's why it's important that we have gedolim who are so sensitive." The Ritva obviously was so sensitive because you have to think about considerations that are not just the ones that are right in front of you. You have to think a little bit ahead. So the Ritva says, "I see here an issue, chashash gadol. I see there's a concern." Of Laz Yesh Vadavar Imlotinase. Imagine, you have a 25-year-old girl whose husband unfortunately passes away. Now she's in Amana with 3 children. Everyone's going to try their best in the community to find someone who she can marry. Nobody wants a girl at 25 to be left in Amana for the rest of her life. So everyone's going to try to set her up. And if anybody meets a boy that might be a prospective shidduch, they're all going to set her up. And what's going to happen? Every time she gets a shidduch that's suggested, she's going to say, no, I don't want to go out with him. I can't, this. And after a certain amount of time, the Ritva writes, word is going to get around that there must be something wrong with her. There must be something wrong with her, and that's why she's refusing to get remarried, because there's something wrong that she's just not disclosing. And he said it will turn out that people are going to go around talking about her negatively, which ultimately is going to be kilkulhu lebanim. That's going to ultimately affect her children. Now her children are going to be raised, and everyone's going to look at them and say, oh, that's the child of Nebuch, the woman who couldn't get remarried, who has a problem. Everyone's going to have their own stories and their own theories, and therefore says the Ritva, the husband originally made his wife promise that he wants to show his love to her, and she should show her love to him, and therefore they should promise each other that they're not going to get remarried after he passes away. However, the husband never wanted that his children should suffer as a result. Had the husband realized that this is going to negatively impact his children, he never would have made his wife make such a promise. And therefore writes the Ritva, Anan sadi da adaiti da hachalo adra. It is clear to me that if you look in the husband's mindset, there is no way he ever had in mind to make his wife make such a promise had he known that this is going to be the consequence of the shvuah that she made. And therefore he says, Mutav hi shitinase, vizehu kvoda mitoalasam. He says, this is what the Rabbanim should do. They should allow her to get remarried, and she should simply ignore the shvuah that she made. So this is the story that the Ritva has. And in fact, it's quoted in the Beis Yosef in Shulchan Aruch and Yerideya. And the Rama quotes a variation of this as well. The Rama writes in Yerideya, Hilchas Nadarim, Isha Shanadra Labaila Becholav, a woman who makes her promise to her husband while the husband was sick, Shalotinase Achare Mosa Olahepach, that she's not going to get remarried. Either she makes the promise or he makes the promise to her. Either way, he says, Im Asu Zos Mipnei Mishum Haftzaras Hachole. If the spouse did it just to embolden, just to encourage and give a revitalized spirit to the Chole and say, don't worry, I'm not going to get remarried, and just to be mechazik the chola, says the Rama, that is not a shvuah that is binding at all. Because it's clear from the outset, at the time that you did it, for anyone who was there at the time that the shvuah was made, it is clear that it was only made with that intent in mind. You never had in mind that you wanted it to go any further than that. You never really wanted that it should be considered a real shvuah, and therefore the Rama paskins lahalacha that since you did it, shaloti tarev daito alav, you did it, that the chola should have peace of mind and serenity, and they shouldn't become sicker and deteriorate as a result. He says, Havi kenidre onas, that is considered like a nidre onas. You had no choice. What were you going to do? It was like somebody holds a gun to your head and makes you make a certain shvuah. What am I going to do? There's nothing else I can do. I have to make a shvuah shav. And that's a issue of pikuach nefesh. And here too, says the Rama, there are times in which we would consider that to be a nether onas, and one does not have to follow through. So I was a little bit relieved when I saw that, even though I assured somebody that I was going to run the marathon with them if they got better in January. They didn't end up getting better, unfortunately. But even had they gotten better, the question is, would you have to follow through with such a nether? Probably not, says the Rama. It's clear. I was the rabbi. I came to visit them. I was only trying to be mechazik them. And they felt very honored that I said such a thing. But it's not clear that that is something that is binding. And the Taz and the Shach discuss it there. In fact, there's a story about the Maharshal, where the Maharshal writes that he too had this kind of story. Maharshal was in the same generation as the Beis Yosef and the Rama. And he writes that there was a woman who made a promise to her husband that she was never going to get remarried, and the husband passed away. And the Maharshal said, don't worry, just ignore it. The Maharshal didn't rely on the Psak of the Rama. I don't think the Rama was printed yet. They were living at the same time. I don't know if he saw the Rama's comments or not. I'm sure historians would know that. So the Maharshal said on his own that he thinks there's no reason for her to follow through with the promise and she can go and get remarried. And he was the Masada Kedushin, apparently, for the next marriage. She goes and gets remarried, and then that night she has a dream. Husband comes back and waves a finger at her and says, you promised me you weren't going to get remarried. How dare you violate the shvuah? Didn't you tell me you love me? And she ignored it. And that night, he came back to her in a dream and he said, if you ignore me, you're going to become sick and you're going to die yourself. And the next day, she woke up and she was so sick, to the point of gesisa, it says. She was almost at the point of death herself, the story goes. And they ran to the Maharshal and they said, what did you do here? You told her that she can violate the shvuah, but now the guy made her sick. He came to her in a dream. How can he do such a thing? And the Maharshal, it says, came into the room and he started to scream the following. He said, Ribbono shel Olam, Ata tzivisa l'kayem mitzvosecha v'gam divrei chachamim. You gave instructions to the Jewish people that they should follow all the mitzvos HaTorah and they should listen to the rabbis. And therefore he says, I gave a psak that this woman's allowed to get remarried. So you have to listen to the rabbi. If the rabbi said that this is something that's allowed, then you have to make sure that the psak is going to be upheld and that she's not going to be sick from this. She can't die from this. This was a psak that was given. Beheter was a psak that was lechatchila. She had every right to do it, and it's not fair. And it says that she somehow had a refuah, and she got herself out of the issue because the Marshal petitioned the Ribbono shel Olam that he was absolving her of her shvuah, and she had nothing to worry about. And this is something that is discussed in many different variations. Let's say, for example, the Shavus Yaakov, one of the great Gedolei Achronim, talks about what happens when a parent makes the children promise that they're going to bury them in Eretz Yisrael. And it's something that's very much weighing on the mind of the parent. Now, the children don't have any money. They don't want to spend all the money that they have to bring the parent to Eretz Yisrael. So what are they supposed to do? On the one hand, we have a mitzvah l'kayim divrei hameis. You're supposed to follow all the orders that the person leaves over at the end of life. But on the other hand, what are we supposed to do? How much do we have to imposition ourselves? And the Shavus Yaakov gives a long argument based on last week's parsha with Yosef and Yaakov Avinu and the shvuah that he made. Was it really binding? What is not binding? Did Yosef really have the opportunity to make a shvuah to his father? He didn't know if he was going to be able to fulfill it. So that was a major question that the Shavus Yaakov discussed. But he says, as far as the shvuah goes, he doesn't think you're bound by the shvuah, because once again, it was clear that you made the shvuah just to be mefayiz daito shelachola. You were doing it just to calm the person down. Don't worry, you want to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, so it's one less thing you have to worry about right now, and that hopefully would help the person get a little bit better and have somewhat of a even a temporary refuah. And therefore, this is a basic issue that one has to be, on the one hand, very careful about nedarim and shvuos that we make, about ways that we use our mouths, like the Gemara says, ba'avon nedarim isha mesa, ba'avon nedarim banim ketana mesim. A person obviously has to be very careful, and the consequences of not being careful are very extreme. But at the same time, we do have such a concept called nidrei onus, in which the Ramah tells us, and many other Rishonim, that there are times when a person is allowed to make a shvuah simply to be mechazek, the mind of somebody who needs chizuk. And even if it means that perhaps everything that you're promising is not going to be fulfilled and is not going to be completely honest, perhaps that's something you have a right to do regardless, because you're doing it shelo titaref daito shel hacholah.